This meeting of the House Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs will now come to order. It is 10:19 a.m. on Tuesday, April 8th, 2025. We are in Capitol Room 124. Our members present today include Representative Gray, Representative Nelson, Representative Hall, Representative Sadler, Representative Allard, and myself, Representative Eichheid, Chair. Let the record reflect we do have a quorum to conduct business. Please remember to silence your cell phones for the meeting. I'd like to send a thank you to Cal Brown from House Records and Zach Lawhorn from Juno LIO for staffing our committee meetings today. We have two items on the agenda. Number one is Senate Joint Resolution Number 10, encouraging the United States Congress to award Hmong veterans of the Vietnam War the Congressional Gold Medal, by Senator Wilikowski. The second item would be House Joint Resolution 13, urging the President of the United States to expand evacuation efforts for applicants with approved special immigrant visas, by Representative Stapp. First item is Senate Joint Resolution Number 10. We have noticed public testimony for SJR 10, so I will open public testimony at this time. Is there anyone in the room who wishes to testify on SJR 10? Seeing none, we will now go online. I do not see anyone online, so I will now close testimony on SJR 10. Before we invite the sponsor to come up for any final statements, are there any representatives here on the committee that would like to make any comments on SJR 10? Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just wanted to celebrate this bill or this resolution as a companion to my resolution that we heard in this committee a couple months back. So excited to be working with Senator Wilikowski and urge everyone to support this. This is a long time coming recognition and something that the Congress can do to really exemplify how Hmongs have impacted the United States in a positive way. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Nelson. Any other comments before we invite the sponsor? Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to echo what my colleague, Representative Nelson, has said. You know, America has had a lot of friends around the world, some of which are really well known and some are not. And I think it's important for Alaska to do its part, especially in recognition of our Hmong community, of the way that people in other countries have aided our international efforts to promote democracy and peace. You know, conflict and combat is a terrible thing, but it's important for us, for national honor, to recognize those who were allied with us, whether formal allies or informal allies. The Hmong did a great service to us in Vietnam, and they continue to be good citizens in Alaska. And I think this is a very appropriate legislation. I'm glad to see both. Hope to see both of them come out of this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Sadler. Representative Allard.
Thank you, Chair. I also wanted to thank Representative Nelson for bringing this forward. There's several veterans on this committee, and I know that this has been a long time coming. We have friendly pro-military in our executive branch in D.C., and I don't see this being held up in the D.C. level, so thank you for bringing it forward.
Thank you. Seeing no other comments, would the sponsor of the resolution like to give any closing remarks? Okay, no closing remarks. We had set an amendment deadline last week for April 2nd. We received no amendments, and so I would entertain a motion to move the resolution from committee. Representative Gray.
Chair Eichheid, I move Senate Joint Resolution 10, Work Order 34-LS0618/alpha from committee with the individual recommendations and accompanying zero fiscal note.
Seeing no objection, the committee's the Senate Joint Resolution 10 is reported out of committee with individual recommendations and accompanying zero fiscal note. We will now take a brief at ease to sign the committee report and transition to our next item of business. At ease. We're back on the record. This is the first hearing on House Joint Resolution 13, urging the President of the United States to expand evacuation efforts for applicants with approved special immigrant visas, including resumption of evacuation flights organized by the Coordinator for Afghan Relocation Efforts, urging the United States Department of State to secure legal protections and humanitarian assistance for special immigrant visa applicants, and requesting that the United States Secretary of State provide a report to Congress regarding efforts to reinstate evacuation flights for applicants with approved special immigrant visas. Here to present is Representative Staff and his intern, Henry Thompson. Welcome. Please come forward, put yourself on the record, and give us an overview of the resolution.
Thank you, Chair Eichscheid. Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Representative Will Stapp. I represent East Fairbanks, Fort Wainwright, and Badger. And this is my intern, Henry.
And for the record, Henry Thompson, intern to Representative Stapp.
Thank you, Co-Chair Eichscheid, members of the committee. So HGR 13 has a bit of a wordy title. So what exactly are we going to discuss today? We're going to discuss, so it's basically special immigration visas for individuals who partnered and served with United States Armed Forces in Iraq and Afghanistan. So just a backstory, because that'll probably help me contextualize what this resolution is requesting. So when I did my first deployment to Iraq in 2007 with the Airborne Brigade in Anchorage, 3rd Battalion, 509th Parachute Infantry Regiment, our operations were only made possible by collaboration between local individuals who, at great risk to themselves and their families, came to work with U.S. forces. So when I was in Karma during the surge in Fallujah back in 2007, our interpreters had to come to work, as well as the Iraqi police had to come to work with a full mask on their face, because in the event that they were identified by Al-Qaeda insurgents, the insurgents would not only murder them, they would murder their entire extended families, right? So a lot of these individuals decided that they would work for U.S. forces under the promise that we would give them. And the promise was, if you assist America in our efforts in the global war on terrorism, we will ensure that you and your families are going to be able to come and immigrate to the United States. And that if you put your time in, basically, we will ensure that you and your children can have a brighter future. And like many things in life, unfortunately, we haven't always kept that promise to the people who, again, at great risk to themselves, put their families at risk. Now, the current situation in Afghanistan, as people know, this program has existed since the basically Iraq war continued through Afghanistan. When Afghanistan was reclaimed by the Taliban, there were thousands of individuals who, if you ever served or deployed, we made them the exact same promise we did to those folks in Iraq. And unfortunately, when the Taliban recaptured the country, many of them were left behind, and even to this day are fugitives in their own country, because as you know, the Taliban probably doesn't view them very kindly for collaborating with American forces during our 20 years. So many of those individuals are not only still stuck over there in hiding while they're being pursued by, let's say, a very vengeful Taliban force, we still have failed to kind of deliver on those promises. So that's kind of the resolution in a nutshell. There's some technical aspects because these programs have existed in law. And really the nucleus and the heart of the resolution is just a request that the President of the United States and Secretary of Defense resume this program immediately to try and ensure that those who did come to our aid when we asked are given adequate, really just promises made, promises kept, I guess, would be the argument. So, and I'll turn it over to Henry here for analysis, more technical analysis of the resolution.
All right, for the record, Henry Thompson, intern to Representative Stapp. So I think the real main point is, of course, following the conflicts in Iraq and in the fiscal year of 2006 for the Defense Authorization Act, this policy was provided for, it allows for up to 50 translators who worked in Iraq or Afghanistan to receive special immigrant visas. It also allows for their families. So it's 50 principal visas and then supplementary for their family members. And the way it's been working is we get their visas, we provide flights. There's sort of two levels of flights where you fly them to a sort of hub, and then you, from there they come arrive in the United States. These translators are highly vetted. The requirement for their receival of this visa is they have to have worked for 12 months for the U.S. Armed Forces, and they have to have a letter of recommendation from a general or a flag officer in the regiment they assisted. Recently, there was actually an executive order that was signed that it halted funding for sort of some assistance programs that were vital to the relocation. So really, getting the message out that this is an important cause that's being impeded right now, I think, is sort of our intention.
Thank you, Representative Stapp and Mr. Thompson. Before we go to questions from the members, I just want to note for the record that Representative Fields arrived at our meeting at 10:29. Thank you for being here. Are there any meetings for or questions for the sponsor? Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Representative Stapp, the sponsor, I appreciate you bringing this forward. We just a few minutes ago honored the Hmong veterans who were in our country. This is an effort to try and bring some of these people who were our allies or veterans of the same conflict to our country, and I appreciate your efforts to do that. Just for the record and for the public, please, this is not a new program. This is not a new initiative. This is, as I understand it, it is an effort to encourage Congress to fulfill the promises made through legislative action. Could you recite some of those legislative actions our U.S. Congress has taken to establish this visa program?
Yeah, again, for the record, Representative Sapp, through the chair to Representative Sadler, I can, as you, I will turn you to in your bill packet, it's called Public Law 11036. Basically, President Bush signed this law on June 15th, 2007, and that basically amended the initial request to add more special immigrant visas because we had quite a few more interpreters than just 50 in their people for year for families. And then there was Public Law 242, which was also signed in October 1st, 2008, and that increased the limit again to 500 members annually. So this program has really been a long-standing program, and like I said, it got very complicated in its execution during the collapse of Afghanistan to be able to fulfill. So there was a lot of scrambling that took place. A lot of actually organizations outside the government kind of jumped in to try to fulfill that role to ensure that a lot of these folks could still get evacuated and repatriated to the United States. And I actually have invited testimony to talk about that today. So,
Representative Gray.
Thank you. Through the chair, I know that in Alaska right now we have 82 Afghan refugees. And they're on various different types of refugee status, including humanitarian parolee. Some of these are family members of the folks that your resolution is seeking to protect. So, in other words, if somebody comes over, they should be able to bring their wife and kids, you know. But the problem we have in the last month is the discontinuation of their status. Obviously, the Afghans, 82, is nothing compared to 1,000 Ukrainians. I won't talk about that, but the 1,000 Ukrainians are in deep jeopardy right now of being told that they have to return to their country. There is this I'm wondering how open you are to amending the bill to be a little bit more expansive, to include their families and the folks that came over on other statuses, and to renew their family member statuses so that they're not forced to return to Afghanistan.
Through the chair to Representative Gray, always willing to chat with members of the committee as far as changes they wish to make. Before I gave you up or down, I'd have to probably see the language you're talking about. So the resolution that's crafted, I worked really hard with people who know a lot more about it than I do to ensure that all the language and especially technical terms were embedded in there to work within confines of existing law. So I'm certainly open to see what you have, but
follow up.
Thank you. Through the chair, my follow up would be that Humanitarian parolee status is established by the president. So the president has the power to end it or continue it. And our president has decided to end it. So, I mean, I understand. So no law is being broken by ending their status. But I would love to state for the record that these Afghans should keep their families here.
Thanks for the record again, Representative Stapp, through the chair to Representative Gray. Yeah, I mean, look, the intention of my understanding of the SIV program is it would be the individual and their immediate families in the event that they served us, right? And that's kind of what my resolution covers. So, but if you want to add some language to ensure that, I think that's something we can have a conversation about. So,
any other questions for the sponsor, Representative Sadler?
Thank you. One more, and through the chair. I want to give the sponsor, potentially any of the testimonies we're going to have here shortly. Our departure from this theater was interesting, ignominious, a challenge. If anyone would speak to what would be the impact of the reputation of America in this region, which is obviously important geopolitically, for us to make good on these promises, what kind of goodwill, what's the effect of that? Is it going to be seen as too little, too late, or fulfillment of that promise? Help me understand how this would echo in this region. I've not been there. Representative, you have? How would it feel?
Through the chair to Representative Sadler. I never made it to Afghanistan. I did make it to Iraq twice. So, but I would say it's an interesting geopolitical concept. I will say for the record, though, what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong, right? So even if it increased our standing, and even if it hurt our standing, to me, it's kind of irrelevant. And I'll tell you the story. I said when I was a squad leader, NCI, I was 22 years old, and I was the guy who made promises to these people because that's what my superiors told me to do, right? They said, well, make sure you tell our interpreter, Freddie, that he's got to get his visa paperwork to this people and all that stuff. And at 22, you know, I didn't know any of those things. I just did what I was told, you know. So now at 37 today, I would say when you reflect back on that, you say, wow, you know, I didn't know that the people in charge of my country and stuff would kind of renege on these promises that they told me to make to these people, you know. And I didn't even really understand the gravity of telling someone that, hey, you know, trust us, basically, and we'll make good upon our word, what the kind of downstream implications would be for that individual, and especially their families. You know, I didn't have kids at 22. You know, I'd been out of high school for a few years, right? And you don't really understand. So I would say what's right is right, you know, at the end of the day, Dan, or Representative Sadler, sorry.
Representative Ellard? Yes.
I don't have my hearing devices. Like I said, everybody has to yell today. Thank you. Through the chair. So I appreciate you bringing this forward. I was in the military. I didn't go to the places that you have seen. My husband was in Rwanda, Somalia, all the places that nobody wants to step foot in Iraq. He didn't make it to Afghanistan either. But what I'll say is that I do run some things by him to get his opinion on especially some of the military stuff. And he wholeheartedly, as a Green Beret for 30 years, totally supports this. I do believe if you do this process, I'm concerned if you do amend it to add family members only because I think we need to focus on the actual individual first, and then we can work on getting their family members too. I just don't want to see this killed. And I think if you go through the Secretary of Defense, he's been over there. He gets it. A lot of you guys get it, and I really appreciate you bringing this over and through us, and you have my full support. Anything I could do to assist, I would do that. Thank you.
Any other questions for the sponsor? Representative Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate this resolution very, very much, and I am supportive, and I have a question that maybe this is a newbie question where I do not have personal military experience, but I did used to have a partner who served in Iraq back in 2004 and 2005. So I'm curious, what am I missing? Because on page 3, lines 5, 9, 14, and 24 say, for the evacuation of their families and their families and their families and their families. So I feel like I'm asking a really newbie question here.
Yeah, through the chair, Representative Hall. No, I think it's an excellent question. So I kind of alluded earlier to Rep. Gray's question that I'd want to see the language if you wanted to amend it. But I think it's fairly clear in the resolution, and I mentioned about the intention of the program was always kind of to do that. I can't tell you a direct answer definitively to Rep. Gray's earlier question because I don't know. That's why I would like to see if you planned to amend the language to run it through. So.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair? And my follow-up is actually for Representative Gray. Could you provide some clarity for me? Mm-hmm. What do I not understand?
Representative Gray?
Sure, thank you. Through the chair to Representative Hall and the sponsor, I was just communicating with the refugee coordinator for the state of Alaska. The 82 Afghan refugees that we have in Alaska are on three different statuses, refugee, SIV, which this covers, and humanitarian parolee status. And she said it's very mixed. And depending when you – so perhaps they should be protected. It's a mistake that they were on the humanitarian parolee status, which has been discontinued. So perhaps there is a pathway to change their status. Perhaps all of the folks in Alaska are on the correct pathway, and they're all good. But it was just my fear that since we have 82 Afghans on three different statuses in our state who are following the rules and doing what they're supposed to do and contributing to our state, that they should get to stay. My impression is this is a more expansive to, you know, the entire country, and I'm taking a very Alaska-centric focus. I do have one comment, if the chair will allow.
A follow-up?
So I was not deployed to Afghanistan either. I was also not deployed to Iraq like the sponsor, but I've read a lot about it. And so I'm really just making a comment to Representative Sadler about the difference between Afghanistan and Iraq. That in my understanding, and the sponsor may have a different opinion, is that because Afghanistan was a country at war for, you know, with Russia for decades, and then we came in, that the population there grew up under this, like spent their entire existence in a state of war, very different than Iraq. In Iraq, there was open hostility towards Americans. People spit on Americans as they drove down the road. There was a lot of overt hostility and anger directed towards American troops in Iraq that you didn't see in Afghanistan. And I think that's a little bit counterintuitive. In Afghanistan, because they had been at war for decades, they were friends with whoever was in front of them. And there wasn't that same sort of open hostility that you would see. And so it's a little bit counterintuitive that actually the folks who deployed to Iraq may have had a more difficult and psychologically unexpectedly harsh experience than folks in Afghanistan, although Afghanistan was a terrible conflict. Thank you.
Any further questions for the sponsor? I would like to make a comment then to the sponsor. I was very pleased to see this resolution as somebody who hasn't served but has stayed appraised of world events over my lifetime. One of the things that this strikes me as well as the former resolution is how important relationships are. I'm often told in this building, relationships are everything, and I think that actually applies worldwide. So I really appreciate, Representative Stapp, you bring this resolution forward. We have noticed invited testimony, and I believe there is a Joe Sabo, founder of Team America Relief Online. Mr. Sabo, would you please take yourself off mute, put yourself on the record, and begin your invited testimony.
Hi, good morning. It's a pleasure to speak to you. My name is Joe Sabo. I'm a former infantry officer in the United States Army. I served as a captain before leaving the service. I actually served in combat operations with then Sergeant Will Stapp, and he was one of the best and toughest men I have ever known. And I'm just incredibly proud of what he has done with his life since that time.
Hey, Mr. Sabo, just a brief interruption. You sound a little bit muted. I don't know if you're how you're speaking into your device, but if you can just elevate your voice and be as clear. It sounded a little muffled.
Okay. Okay, is this any clearer?
Yes, thank you, sir.
Okay, should I repeat what I said before? Or
yes,
that,
yes, sir. Please start from the beginning.
Okay, thank you for your patience. So my name is Joe Sabo. I am a former infantry officer in the United States Army. I left the service at the rank of captain. I served in combat operations with then Sergeant Will Stapp, one of the best and toughest men I've ever known, and I'm incredibly proud of what he has done with his life since that time. I myself went on to have a career in education and education technology. By happenstance, I became heavily involved in the evacuation of Afghanistan at the request of my brother to save the life of his friend. We believed that those that did not get out by September 1st, 2021 would die hard deaths at the hands of the Taliban, and that their wives and children would also pay a terrible price. Working with my brother and a group of like-minded veterans, we formed a group of civilian volunteers and ended up directly and extensively collaborating with U.S. intelligence and U.S. special forces. Our team of volunteers did what was drilled into us from day one in the military: leave no one behind. We successfully covertly evacuated nearly 500 in August of 2021 and several thousand people in the years since. Our exit was a dire situation that evolved over multiple administrations and should never have happened in that way. While I'm proud of the work that was done on behalf of these people, I agree with everything I've heard today, and I'm ashamed that so many are still suffering and have been left behind because of our inability to act more quickly. The motto of the Afghan forces was Shona Bashona, which means shoulder to shoulder. We did not uphold that, and many were hunted down and killed in the months and years since. But by grace, we've been given an opportunity to still do more by those who stood by our sides in harm's way, those that have managed to survive in Afghanistan or Pakistan since August of 2021. Those people were free for 20 years, and they've since lost everything. There's not a day that goes by when I don't receive desperate pleas for help, get daily texts telling me that their children are doomed, that their loved ones have gone missing, bundled away in the trunk of a car. Several Afghan teenage girls that my wife and I helped escape the country, that we personally brought here and that we know well, were only 15 years old when they were being forced to marry Taliban fighters. That is the same age as my daughter. Fortunately, because of programs like this, the FAIV program, they've escaped, and they are now safe and free here in the United States of America. For those that have come, they're becoming great Americans, contributing to building our companies, our schools, and our communities, including many, some that I know, living in your communities in Alaska. And though I will mention I was a little afraid for them going to Anchorage, not being ready for the climate, but they're thriving, so thank you. Despite some of those good news stories, there are still over 10,000 waiting in the SIV program alone. Most of these have long ago submitted all of the appropriate paperwork and were patiently waiting years for a decision. As you've mentioned, this was not just SIV. It includes humanitarian parolees, family reunification visas, and Afghan commandos. These programs are currently shut off without Department of State staff and contractors to support, and a presidential order prohibiting these programs from continuing. Without this program, we are denying our allies safety, their families from being reunited and being free. We continue to damage our reputation every year that goes by that we've not done our part, Shona Bashona, shoulder to shoulder with our allies. I believe the administration will hear you, Alaska, and I ask that you support this bill and uphold the honor of this country and our commitment to our allies. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Sabo. Is there any questions for the testifier, Mr. Sabo, from the committee? Representative Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't have a question. It's more a comment. And Mr. Sabo, thank you very much for your service and your dedication to our country. I have immense gratitude to you. Thank you.
Any further questions?
Thank you, ma'am.
Representative Allard.
Mr. Sabo, I wish that Representative Stapp was as good as he was in the military, but I appreciate your service. Thank you.
Give me a call, and I'll take care of him.
Okay, I hear you, and I will. Thanks.
Any further questions for Mr. Sabo? Seeing none, Mr. Sabo, thank you for your testimony, but more importantly, thank you for your service, and Thank you for your shout out for Representative Stapp. I appreciate that. See no more questions. Would the sponsor of the resolution like to say anything else?
Again, for the record, Representative Stapp, I just want to appreciate the committee for taking the time to hear HGR 13 today.
Thank you, Representative Stapp and Mr. Thompson, for being here. We will hold HJR 13 in committee. And that concludes our agenda for today. Looking ahead, we had a meeting scheduled for this Thursday. I'm going to cancel that on April 10th. And this meeting of the House Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs is adjourned at 10:51 a.m.